Hey everyone, it's me, Camille.
And me, Tim.
So before we get started, a quick heads up, actually a little inside baseball. Like many shows, we try to stick to a calendar.
Stick to a calendar might be a little bit of an understatement. For those of you listeners out there, Camille is a little obsessed with organization. So
oh man, why you gotta put me on front street?
How many calendars do you have? There's the obviously like the digital calendar. There's the multiple.
You gotta
calendar.
Have the paper and then the planners and then the. Anyway, guys.
We digress. We did have a show planned for this week, and we've been working on it for a while.
Mm-hmm, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, it involves art and race and relationships. It's gonna be a cool show.
But we're putting that on hold to bring you a short update on a story we first reported back in April. That's when, after spending months analyzing student discipline data for the youngest students in Missouri, we had a clear takeaway.
When white preschool through third grade students get in trouble, they're kicked out of class. But black students in Missouri, they get kicked out of school.
The day after we ran that episode, public schools in the city of St. Louis joined only a handful of school systems across the country and banned out-of-school suspensions for their youngest students. If you haven't checked it out yet, we just did a show on how this is playing out.
It's episode 32. The title is Equity in Education, Dream or Doable? Just in case anybody's keeping score at home.
Yeah, you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, welivehere.show. Anyway, we thought we had it covered at this point. But then a couple weeks ago, something else happened, and it's a really big deal.
20 school districts across the St. Louis region agreed publicly to reduce out-of-school suspensions in the early grades.
So on this update episode, we talk with local school leaders and activists about efforts to keep more kids in school, even when they act out. We live here.
We live here.
We live here.
We live here.
A project exploring
race,
class,
power,
poverty,
systems, and the people they touch.
I'm Camille Stanley.
And I'm Tim Lloyd. And from St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
We're going to hear from school leaders and activists in a couple minutes, but before we do, we want you to understand what's at stake, because data doesn't tell the whole story.
Each of those numbers represents a child, and each of those suspensions can undermine their prospects in life. With that in mind, we want to go back and play you the very beginning of our first report on early grade suspensions, and introduce you again to Kiana Fields.
We first met her early in the morning as she was running a comb through her son Johnny's hair.
You gonna have a good day at school today?
Yes.
Okay.
Kiana lives in a tiny little brick home about a mile from the Mississippi River on St. Louis's north side, and her 8-year-old son Johnny is a second grader at Nance Elementary.
So Johnny, what's your favorite thing to learn about in school right now?
Math, spelling words, and like learning new books.
Yeah, tell me about your grades this year. I hear you're doing pretty good.
Really good about my grades. I got a lot of S's.
And you were what?
B honor roll.
How's that make you feel to be on the honor roll? That's pretty cool.
It makes me feel like I'm a good student, a smart student. Felt great because I thought I wasn't going to get on the road. That I have been doing good instead of doing bad, I thought I'm proud of myself.
That feels probably pretty good, Mom.
That's gonna make me cry.
No, don't cry.
Okay, I'm not. Once I cry, it's what? Happy?
Tears.
Okay. Almost as soon as Kiana finishes bundling Johnny up in a coat, he darts out the door.
He ready to leave me. I'm like, oh, damn, baby. Have a good day. Can I tell you, have a good day? Can I catch you? See how he is so happy to go to school this year. And last year, he missed 38 days. So just think, as a child, how he feels so much better, happy this year.
38 days. Let that sink in.
That's basically 2 months out of school.
Not because Johnny was sick, not because Kiana was homeless and going from place to place. It was a choice made by school administrators.
Back in the living room of her home, Kiana pulls out a well-worn manila folder that's stuffed with school records.
Right here where you can see. And he got suspended right behind it.
There's paperwork for all the 1 day, 2 day, 5 day, and even 10 day out of school suspensions.
It was so hard because I was like, this is messing with my baby life.
Kiana knows her son can be a handful. He first started acting out near the end of kindergarten, overturning desks and fighting with other students.
Kiana doesn't dispute that those things happened, but the response from school administrators seemed way too harsh. She says the school even tried to bar Johnny from his kindergarten graduation.
Yeah, I told them that's not right. No, so they did let him go to the kindergarten graduation, but they had him like back. You couldn't even see him. He was like in the back of the row.
She thought maybe this was a phase, but it wasn't. When he got to first grade last year, Johnny kept acting out in class, and the suspensions got longer and longer.
And he started saying things like, I want to kill myself, I hate this school, I wish I'd die. And it was like he was crying out for help.
Just to be clear, like along the way, nobody with the school said, you should go see a psychologist. Nobody said, let's try and diagnose what these issues are.
No, I was the only one. Something inside of me said, you know what? You need to go get your baby some help. Go see a psychiatrist. Something just told me, go and take him to get help.
A doctor diagnosed Johnny with ADHD and depression, but the out-of-school suspensions kept coming.
It was hurtful. I had to go to the library because I had to be the teacher. I did not give up. That's why he wasn't behind academic. We went to the library. I requested work.
Keeping Johnny on track academically wasn't Kiana's only concern. At one point, the Department of Social Services calls Kiana to say they're investigating a child abuse complaint against Johnny's assistant principal.
According to state documents, the school administrator dragged Johnny down the hall by his hoodie after he had an outburst in class. Johnny, witnesses said, told the assistant principal she was choking him and asked her to stop dragging him. But because he had no physical injuries and because he was, quote, out of control, the State Department determined the incident didn't rise to the level of abuse.
The assistant principal is no longer with the district. As the suspensions continued, Johnny's psychologist told Kiana to go see an attorney.
When she saw them days after 38 days, she said, I'm taking your case. I'm going to help you. And then I started crying. I cried. And when she saw me cry, she said, I'm going to help you. I said, please help me. I said, I don't want my baby to be stupid.
And legal services did help her and Johnny, which you'll hear about a little bit later in the show. But it's important to note here that stories like hers have played out for decades.
Racial disparities and suspensions aren't a new phenomenon. The movement to challenge that pattern here in the St. Louis region, however, is new. And it's been fueled in large part by activists like Brittini Gray.
She works for Metropolitan Congregations United. The nonprofit focuses on all types of social justice issues. But in recent years, it's put a laser focus on reducing school suspensions.
It really began when we were organizing youth back in early 2014, before Ferguson actually happened, and pinpointed out-of-school suspensions as one of the most common elements with school reform amongst the students that we were working with.
So with her group of young organizers who call themselves Students for Change, Brittini started booking meetings with area superintendents. Their quest? Concrete commitments to reduce out-of-school suspensions.
The first round of conversations were met with a lot of skepticism, mm-hmm. rightfully so. I think districts are often weary of people wanting to talk about what's going on inside.
But outside administrative offices, community members were starting to pay closer attention to how schools handle discipline. In fact, banning kindergarten through third grade suspensions was one of the recommendations in the 2015 Ferguson Commission report.
That report was the result of a year-long examination of racial and economic divides following the death of Michael Brown.
Right, and Brittini says school districts weren't so much opposed to the idea of curbing suspensions. Many just had no idea where to start.
On top of that, they knew they needed extra support, but weren't sure where the extra help would come from.
But then the biggest district in the region moved first. St. Louis Public Schools announced it was banning out-of-school suspensions in preschool through second grade.
Bertini and her fellow organizers felt like the decision could have a domino effect among the numerous school districts in the St. Louis area. So they kept pushing the issue with administrators.
We took that feedback that we were getting from school districts and went and actually developed this kind of set of levels of commitments that could be manageable for districts.
Then in early November, they called on 20 school district leaders to attend a public meeting and declare in front of everyone where they stood on reducing suspensions.
And whether or not they would follow St. Louis Public Schools' lead and put their own bans in place.
And so we had about 17 of those districts that fell into Tier 1, which is a commitment to reduce out-of-school suspensions. At Tier 2, Normandy and Ladue commit to changing policy in the 2018-2019 school year. And then we had Maplewood Richmond Heights at Tier 3 committing to change next year. Policy.
I'm curious if you were at all surprised by the amount of progress that's happened around the bans on out-of-school suspensions in the early grades or attempts to reduce that.
Yeah, I think when you are in the organizing world, you come to have a different understanding of how time moves and it's usually quite slow. And I will say that
I am being very polite right now.
What I'll say is that we have seen this really pick up speed, unlike pretty much any other reform that, especially over the past 2 years, has been pushed for. And so, yes, I'm excited to see the movement. I think we still got a long way to go. For me, suspensions are just the first part of the conversation, not the end of the conversation. But it is good to see the energy in the region right now to address this.
We'll continue our update on school suspension policy in St. Louis right after this short break. Before the break, we were talking about the new energy to reform school discipline policy across the St. Louis region.
Of course, energy isn't the only reason things may be moving so rapidly. Sharonica Hardin is the superintendent of University City School District, a smaller system that borders St. Louis Public Schools.
I think that there's a little bit of peer pressure, being brutally honest, amongst the superintendents. Yeah. I mean, we're a little bit competitive.
That was going to be my next question. Like, what are you guys talking about?
You know, so that is definitely that domino you talked about. It does cause you to ask the question, why not me? You know, and we really have to think critically about where we are and be honest about it.
Superintendent Hardin and Bertini met more than a year ago and agree that nobody wins when students are sent home from school. In fact, Hardin helped craft the Ferguson Commission recommendation to ban early grade suspensions. So it might seem like a given that she would quickly follow the steps of St. Louis Public Schools, especially given that she used to work there.
And yet, at the event a couple weeks ago, Hardin fell into the Tier 1 group, which means she's committed to reducing suspensions for the youngest students, but not enacting a total ban. Hardin just took over University City Schools this summer, and she says she has to be practical about her approach.
So I have to build some credibility. And just coming in saying this is what we're doing because I know it's the right thing to do, I think would be very premature and honestly irresponsible. So my approach has been to acknowledge where we are, simultaneously begin to plant the seeds for other types of supports, working all angles, but then really working to educate people so that it's not an issue that the new superintendent identified, but it is an issue that the community embraces and owns, if that makes sense.
Other school leaders say they are ready to take the leap now. Karen Hall is superintendent of the Maplewood Richmond Heights District, which has about 1,200 students.
Starting next year, they too will ban out-of-school suspensions in preschool through third grade.
I don't want to say that this is a simple thing across the board, but again, it is a good fit for where we are and what we believe in as a school and as a community.
Hall says that conversation is starting to spread throughout the community. And she says superintendents in the region often talk to each other about all kinds of stuff.
But that there's rarely unified action around an issue like this. Hull joined us in studio with Bertini, the activist.
I'm just wondering if you feel like that this particular movement around early grade suspensions has some real staying power, at least in the St. Louis region.
It has to. It's what's best. It's a matter of humanity as far as I'm concerned. Again, it's counterintuitive for educators to always have students out of school. You know, we must do what we can in order to keep our students in the classroom so they can learn, because that's their right. There are some students that seriously struggle, and they have issues with maybe toxic stress. You know, we're learning more about all of those challenges out there, and that's real. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat where it's gone forever. No, there are reasons that have impacted students' lives. Mm-hmm. And part of our responsibility is to unpack all that and help them with it. Mm-hmm. And in this way, it's complex. And I wouldn't recommend any school district who hasn't thought about all those culture and climate things mm-hmm. to just do it, mm-hmm. because that's not what we've done. Mm-hmm. And I just believe it has to be a thoughtful transition.
I heard a lot of mm-hmms over there, so can you dig into some of those mm-hmms?
Sure. So, you know, I think what's important here that we haven't talked as much about, but Dr. Hull is putting on the table, is why trauma-informed, why restorative practices are so important. I began to share this story lately in my own neighborhood one morning. I was headed to work, and two of my next-door neighbors, young girls, probably neither of them older than 7, were getting in their father's car to get ready to go to school that morning. As he was waving a gun at their mother and using it to usher them into the car, right? And so, yet they're expected to show up in the classroom and be whole and learn. And then the other part of it is, who are they having these conversations with? They're probably not going to go to their teacher. They're probably going to have conversations over lunch with their peers, other 6- and 7-year-olds who are dealing with their own kind of trauma. And so I think we have to get rid of this kind of notion and antiquated narrative that schools are only about educating. Well, we have to be privy to what goes on in everyday life and how that impacts the space in which and where education happens.
So it's not just change and support for these districts, but it's change and support for these families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that ring true to you?
Absolutely. My heart was just swelling while she was saying all that, because it's true.
As we said earlier, it's easy to sometimes forget that wrapped up in all these policy changes are people. Principals and teachers who have to deal with new rules, students and families who have to adjust to a new system as well.
Which brings us full circle, back to Kiana Fields and her son, Johnny. If you recall, Johnny suffers from ADHD and depression. And 2 years ago, he was kicked out of his school in the city of St. Louis for 38 days. Ultimately, Kiana enlisted the help of legal services to try and keep her son in class.
And we've been curious to see how they're doing now. So a couple days ago, we paid Kiana a visit and were greeted by the family's newest addition, Adam. Oh yeah, Adam is a perky little lap dog.
Hi Kiana, how's it going? Good.
Remember the dog from last time?
Yes, we just got him. My uncle
died.
My uncle
died. And we got him. Come on, Adam. Come sit down.
Come on, Adam.
Adam?
Adam.
Come on, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Hi, Adam. You smell my dog?
Yes.
What's up?
Come on, Adam. Come on, baby. Come sit down.
Come on, baby. So you got to act good.
After we settle in and Adam curls up on the couch next to Kiana, she tells us how the news about schools trying to reduce or even get rid of out-of-school suspensions is a blessing.
I felt so good. I was like, oh, I wanted it. Did they hear me last year? You know, was I able to help? You know, So that made me feel really, really, really good.
But she says more needs to be done.
I can see that it's changing a little. And I can say a little because at least I saw on the news that they are not suspending. They are trying to stop suspensions for kindergartners up to second, which I think they should at least go up to the fifth. Because with the third graders, they go into multiplications. They go into write paragraphs. So they go into another transition. And that frustrates them and makes them act out.
Johnny just entered the third grade, so he's too old now to benefit from St. Louis Public Schools' ban on out-of-school suspensions. It only goes up to the second grade.
And even though her son got off to a good start this school year, Kiana says this fall, Johnny once again started getting sent home.
He got first, they suspend him for 10 days.
Was it out of school?
Out of school suspension for 10 days. Then they suspended him again for another 5 days. So that's once they said they have a school probably equipped for Johnny.
That school specializes in helping children with behavioral or learning disabilities. Johnny's been there about a month, and for now, things are better.
They have psychiatrists on the spot. They have social workers on the spot. He have less students in the room. It's only him. I mean, it's only two boys, him and another boy. So he likes it.
But he misses his friends at his old school and wants to go back. Kiana and school officials will meet soon to decide what's best for Johnny moving forward, whether to stay at the new school or go back to the old one.
For Kiana, it's a continuation of a long struggle to keep her child in the classroom and deal with the pressures of everyday life.
Suffering from epilepsy, Kiana, a certified nursing assistant, isn't working right now. But with bills starting to pile up, that could change.
It makes me stressed because I'm already struggling with my seizures. So once he acts up at school, like if I do work, how can I work if the school calling me like this every day or they suspending him like this back to back? And then he got to go to a doctor every month for behavior therapists. So it's a load. It's a big load on me. But I have to be strong. I can't now cry, but I won't cry in front of Johnny. And I have to push him, and I have to give him all the help I can. And I'm going to make sure he stay in school and not get suspended.
And if Johnny does go back to his old school, the one that prior to the ban gave him out-of-school suspensions that totaled more than a month, Kiana says it's not clear they have the resources to help her son.
And that's exactly what we hear from educators from all types of schools. No one thinks sending kids home is good. The question is always, do the schools have the resources to do something about it, especially for 5, 6, or 7-year-old children?
School leaders say they can change policy and practices, but without more supports for teachers, principals, administrators, and parents, banning suspensions isn't enough. Now they need help getting resources to bring in more school counselors, social workers, all things that will ultimately keep kids in school.
And look, we don't know where this is gonna end up here in St. Louis, but we're gonna keep you updated.
We Live Here is produced by me, Tim Lloyd.
And me, Camille Stanley.
Shula Newman is our editor.
And Cassie Morgan composed our theme music.
And from St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PRX.